Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Today is World Puppetry Day, and Arts Mid-Hudson will mark the holiday starting tomorrow with a day of puppetry, which kicks off their Hudson Valley Puppetry Festival. Puppets of all shapes, sizes, and puppetry disciplines will be on display and in performance in communities throughout the Mid-Hudson Valley tomorrow through April 26th. Here to tell us more are Eleanor Levy, the Folk Arts Program Manager for Arts Mid-Hudson, and Brad Scher, owner and founder of Paper Heart Puppets and co-director of the Hudson Valley Puppetry Festival. Eleanor and Brad, welcome to the roundtable. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Eleanor, many, many events over the course of a little over a month. How did it get started? Why is it important to celebrate puppetry arts from your perspective?
So this is our second, I guess we can now say second annual puppetry festival. And Brad came to me with the idea in early 2024, and we put together the first festival last year, then decided, wow, we've got to do this again. And we've had incredibly generous monies come in from the Cook's Mark Grant, the Anna Nabe Ephron Grant, the Robert R. Chapman Grant, and most recently, the Stewart's Shops Holiday Match. We're very excited about that and their willingness to support this festival. And why is it important? From the view of a folklorist, puppetry is just centuries old, and it's a very old tradition. You can find it globally. One of the very first recorded, quote-unquote, recorded puppets is a Maori puppet from New Zealand. And it's a very simple paddle puppet. And then you get to the very, very elaborate puppets, like the ones that you'll see on March 22nd at our Day of Puppetry, from groups like Wooden Strings, Up in Arms, Paper Heart Puppets, Cactus Head Puppets, and Arm of the Sea. And they will range from small puppets to larger than life puppets, way larger than life puppets with Arm of the Sea. And, you know, puppetry allows people to express themselves and say things through puppets, through these beings that they create. So it's sort of like having an alternate, I don't want to say alternate personality, but sort of having another, you know, another being that you can talk through that maybe say things you might not say as yourself. And also a way to convey important cultural information in an entertaining way. And that is one of the foundations of folklore.
Brad, how did you find your way into puppetry? You are the artistic director of Paper Heart Puppets and have played a huge part in putting together this festival in the Hudson Valley, but where did you begin and what is your puppet style of personal preference or expertise, I suppose, and maybe of multiple?
You know, I've been into puppets for a very, very long time. I think we were talking just a little bit before we got started that you were a big Muppets fan. I was a huge, huge Muppets fan. Not just, you know, the puppetry, but the humor and the way that everything comes together to tell a story was really always inspiring to me. And I think something that I didn't realize until even later in my career is that why it was so appealing is that it's everything. I like to say puppetry is the nexus of art forms, and not enough people talk about it like that, that if you want to write, if you want to perform, if you want to sing, if you want to work with fabric, if you want to sculpt, if you want to paint, puppetry puts all those art forms into one place and marries them really beautifully. Like Eleanor was talking about, it's a very, very old art form. So there's traditions of it that go back and back and back and back. But it's also a very new art form, so that you go to puppetry festivals and there's ways that people are using technology. There's ways that people are experimenting with the relationship between objects and the audience. And so it's cutting edge and ancient. It's every kind of art coming together. I think for people who like more than one style of art and more than one way of making art and approach to art, it's really satisfying. And also because it's on a small scale, sometimes physically, sometimes not so small, but on a small scale that you can be a practitioner and practice all of those. If you want to be an animator and make a film, then it's going to take 20,000 hours to make something yourself. And if you're entering the industry, you're probably going to be for a long, long time, one tiny cog animating like a wave in the ocean for years and years. But if you're a puppeteer, you can start and make a world by yourself and get to wear all those hats and get to practice all those art forms. And that's been something I've felt very, very lucky to get to practice.
What is the direction of Paper Heart Puppets? What is the specific outlets you plug into with your company?
As I said, with puppetry is broad. I'm kind of broad myself, and what I like to do. Started out working for other companies, and I traveled around. And then by 2009, I found myself the resident artist at Puppet Showplace Theater in Brookline, Massachusetts. And I was only the second person to do that, and I got to train with the original resident artist, Paul Vincent Davis, who's an amazing legend of glove puppetry, among other things. And I loved getting that practice. When I came here to the Hudson Valley, when my wife, my now wife, my then partner, got the job at Vassar, I had to leave the theater and reinvent myself. And I had some shows that I developed at the Showplace. I had some shows that I was still working on. I'm really interested in what I call formal experiments in the way that you do things. And I think puppetry is a really, really fun place to do that. So I have the show I do the most anywhere is called Cardboard Explosion. I decided really early that I liked teaching about puppetry and I liked doing puppetry. And I wanted something that was sort of an arts ed piece that had this energy of interacting really directly with the audience in a way that you don't get to in most puppet shows. So I decided I want to bring the audience on stage and we will make puppets together and that will be part of the puppet show. And that quickly, told me, I'm like, oh, I need something we can work with really quickly. And that the things that I've made ahead of time can look a little bit like the things we make together. And I came to cardboard as a great material for that. And I loved it too, that I could send kids off saying, we made some cardboard puppets today. Go home. Can you find a box? And I ended up naming my company Paper Heart Puppets because I love cardboard and paper and those kinds of materials because everybody can find them. Everybody can work with them. You don't need a respirator and special glues and a welding torch to make something out of cardboard and paper. You don't need to spend a lot of money finding specialized things. You don't need to be very advanced in your skills to make something. So I love being able to show things to my audience, which is mostly kids and families, not entirely, but mostly kids and families, that they can go on and continue the experience of making and being creative and expressing themselves with materials that are affordable and easy to work with.
And there will be a presentation of Cardboard Explosion on March 29th as part of the Hudson Valley Puppetry Festival. That will be at the Howland Cultural Center. And that's a little bit later down the line in events. The first big event, your kickoff event, is the Day of Puppetry that Eleanor mentioned on March 22nd. Could you both tell us more about what to expect that day?
Part of it was when we first talked about this, the whole festival, I'd been doing Day of Puppetry events at the Puppet Showplace Theater for many years. And, there's a World Day of Puppetry, which is this year on March 21st, and the National Day of Puppetry, which is April 26th. So when I first came to Eleanor, I'd seen, I was on social media and saw a lot of my friends and colleagues in the puppetry world posting about the Day of Puppetry. I'm like, oh, this is this great opportunity to evangelize for the art form. This is this great sort of moment to talk about why puppetry is so great because puppetry ends up being this best kept secret. I think I've met so many people who love puppetry who say, like, I didn't know this kind of puppetry existed. I didn't know anything except Sesame Street or Punch and Judy was actually a thing. Because I think puppetry has a problem of not being front and center in the world. And people love it when they see it, but they don't always know to look it out. So it needs a little bit of this juice to help people remember to see it and look for it. And there's still these great artists, especially in the Hudson Valley. So when I went to Eleanor, she had done a particular event with music. And I forget, Eleanor, what was the name of the event?
I did many years ago. I did what we called
Yeah.
a music round robin, where I brought in musicians, I brought in bagpipers, an accordion, piano, violin, and drums, because I thought people often heard those instruments, but maybe you've had a chance to play a drum. And there was some tragic violin lessons in my childhood. I did not inherit the music gene, and I thought, well, other people might like to try out different musical instruments, and it was a great success. And that's sort of what we go with the Day of Puppetry, is that people will come, people of all ages, and it's a free event, will come, and they will have the opportunity to talk to puppeteers of different styles. There'll be some activities they can do. We love make and take activities at Arts Mid Hudson, so we'll have those. And so it's an opportunity for families to come and have a nice day. And in addition, every child will get what we call a passport, and they will go around, and at each station, once they complete work, you know, talking or working on the project, they'll get a stamp, and at the end, they'll come back and receive a finger puppet. So they'll love actually it. Be able to take home a little puppet.
That's great. We love collecting stamps, don't we?
We conceive this as it has a very strong children families element, but it's an event for everybody because the puppeteers are there to display their work. Some of them doing these activities for kids, but it's also an opportunity for, you know, we'll have Clarissa Lega of Wooden Strings Puppets showing her replica Bunraku puppets, which are these actually really complex puppets inspired by a traditional Japanese type of puppet. And if you are an adult enthusiast, you can come and get really technical and talk about the traditions of these puppets and how they're made and how they perform. And kids can come and see the cool characters and make something. So there's something for anyone who is interested in puppetry.
It's also an opportunity for teachers, librarians, anyone who might be interested in having a puppet event of their own to come and sort of see who's available in the area and the different kind of puppets that, you know, they can possibly bring in. So it's an opportunity for all sorts of things to happen.
You know, people who are less familiar than the three of us with what's available in the puppetry arts, you think about it as being a art form unto itself, like a show will have puppets. But of course, there's puppets used in all kinds of live performance all the time, like on Broadway, for instance, like thinking there's War Horse and King Kong. And there was a big tuna sandwich puppet by Basil Twist in Oh Hello. And, you know, it just shows up all the time. The wizard head kind of in Wicked is a really large scale puppet. So yeah, there's lots of ways for all kinds of creatives to witness and use it and collaborate with puppeteers and puppet construction people.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the Betty Boop musical, I think, is just going up on Broadway right
it
now
is.
With Marionette by Phil Huber.
People think of puppets, you know, they think of the bread and puppets or these large puppets on Broadway. But puppetry can also go down to very small. Brad, you should talk about the Yetis for a minute.
Oh, yeah. So we built a piece a few years ago. It actually ended up being partly a collaboration with the Bardavon here in Poughkeepsie. There's a style of puppetry that's actually relatively new, which is rare because puppetry goes way back, called Teatro Lambe Lambe, which started in the 80s in Central America. And I've heard it's also big in Puerto Rico, where it's a puppet show for one person at a time through a peephole. And it started as a kind of a street theater. And I've been seeing a lot of examples of it. You know, my wife is from Monterrey, Mexico, and we'd actually gone down one time and there was a festival of Lambe Lambe downtown, which blew my mind. I'm like, there's puppets here. It's great. I'm home. But I'd loved this form for a long time. And so we ended up building a version of that was a series of mountains, a bunch of theatrical flats of mountains with ridges and little buildings and houses. So it comprised a little sort of ramshackle village. And the windows of the buildings were all the peepholes. And the audience was meant to travel between from house to house, from building to building, and look in through the window. And then behind each one, there was a hidden puppeteer. And it was a slice of life scene of this Yeti village. We called it Wild Snowy Mountain. We made it originally for a pre-show for the Bardavon. We've done it again at the Bardavon a couple times. We did it at the Sinterklaas Festival. We actually just brought it this year to the Regional Puppeteers of America Festival in Ithaca, New York. So we get to trot that out once a year. But yeah, we talk about big puppets like Arm of the Sea and Bread and Puppet. They're, you know, puppets the size of houses. These are puppets the size of your finger that you sort of look really, really closely at and get to appreciate on a smaller scale.
It sounds, in addition to being, you know, artistically important, very, very cute. Sounds very cute to me.
It was both of those things. It was both of those things.
And it was fun because he had to recruit volunteers to run all these different Teatro Lambe Lambes, and I got to do one.
Oh, cool.
So that was really, so I got to be a puppeteer for a brief moment.
Wonderful. We probably won't get to mention or talk in depth about every event that's part of the festival, but people can, of course, visit artsmidhudson.org/HVPF for Hudson Valley Puppetry Festival. And this will be linked on our website when I post the interview. But we should mention, I did want to mention that most of the events, if not all, are all ages and free.
mostly free, and we worked hard to get that. Eleanor mentioned some of the grant funding we secured, and we got really wonderful. You know, one of the reasons it grew so much is because when we started talking to people last year, there was so much interest, and we got to go to all these venues and say, do you want to participate in this? Do you have some funding to help make this free and open to the public? And there was so much enthusiasm, not just from the grantors who gave us, but from the venues to contribute their own spaces and their own funding to make this programming all open. The one exception I want to say to all ages, the one that's not all ages, is there is a puppet slam both at the beginning and the end of the festival. It's the Uncanny Valley Slam in Newburgh at the Ritz Theater, which is going to kick it off on the 22nd. And that is very much an adults only event. And the Hudson Valley Puppet Slam, which is going to be at the Stissing Center on the 26th of April.
We're really synced up because the slams were the next thing I was going to talk about. So now we get to point out those are adults only, but also for the uninitiated, what's a puppet slam?
Well, actually, I have the great honor. Puppet slams actually started at my my previous home theater in Boston at the in Boston Brookline at the Puppet Showplace Theater. So a puppet slam is an evening program of multiple pieces by multiple artists for a grown-up audience. They were originally styled slightly after poetry slams, but they tend not to be competitive like some poetry slams are. It's a lovely tasting platter for someone who is unassociated with puppetry and who hasn't been exposed to it. So when we curate a slam, we generally try to get people using different kinds of puppets, different moods. By being adult, it doesn't mean it's all raunchy and inappropriate for children. Sometimes it's very serious. Sometimes it's very silly. Sometimes it's adult with a capital A, but not always. But we have a range of artists. I think we've got about, in both programs, I think we have about 9 different artists and 9 different pieces, all using all different kinds of puppets, from shadows to tabletop, all different themes, all different moods. And I will say that if people are interested specifically in the first one, I haven't actually talked in the last week with the folks at the Stissing, but the one in Newburgh looks like it's on the verge of selling out. So it's a small house. So if people are interested in that, they should hurry in.
That one's, again, at the Ritz Theater in Newburgh, New York, taking place at 7 p.m. on March 22nd. Why don't each of you pick another event to kind of go in on, and then we'll talk about the closing ceremony.
Do you want to go first, Eleanor? I've been talking a bunch.
Yes, I will talk about what's going to be on view all month in Poughkeepsie. We have 3 places along Main Street in Poughkeepsie, starting sort of in the downtown area. We have Puppets in the Window, which will be a display of many of the puppets by puppeteers who are working at the Day of Puppetry and a few extras. And then at the Trolley Barn, in the window of the Trolley Barn, we're going to have parade puppets, which will include puppets from the La Guelaguetza, which is a Oaxacan festival that happens every year in August in Poughkeepsie. We will have puppets from Red Wing Blackbird, who are located in Rosendale. And we'll have a parade puppet from Sabrina Sculpt. You'll be able to see these just as you walk by, not so much as you drive walk by. And then finally, we'll have a small exhibit called Puppetry Around the World at the Poughkeepsie Underwear Factory in the cafe. You can see those throughout the month, and then I'll talk about the final thing. Brad, fantastic. Please talk about Alleloo.
I do want to talk about Alleloo because that's really special. So Alleloo Curtin was a puppeteer and especially a promoter of puppetry who lived here in the Hudson Valley in Hyde Park for many, many years. And she actually retired to Concord, Massachusetts, right outside my theater. So she used to come in my theater in Brookline almost every show that we had, at least once a month for all the runs that we had going. When I was moving here, I actually had a conversation with her. I said, oh, my wife got this job in the Hudson Valley, and I'm not sure if I can leave Boston. And I didn't know this. And she turned to me and she said, I lived there for decades and it's a beautiful place. You're going to do great. And I had no idea she was from here. But when I moved here, when I meet people over a certain age, they keep saying, oh, you're a puppeteer. I knew a puppeteer around here. Her name was Alleloo Curtin. And Alleloo was a major force. She was called the Unimama by a lot of people because she was really active in the formation of UNIMA, the Union Internationale de Marionette, which is the world puppetry organization that the US wasn't originally a part of. The whole rest of the world was talking about puppets and we weren't. And her, along with Jim Henson, formed UNIMA USA, the United States chapter of UNIMA. And she was a major force for getting puppetry in America in line and communicating with the rest of the world. And she was also a wonderful performer, involved in Puppeteers of America, involved in promoting and organizing for the art form on many, many levels, and beloved in the puppetry community and one of Hudson Valley's own. So we are borrowing some of her collection of puppets from the Ballard Museum in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And we are putting them on display at the Hyde Park Library Annex.
And then you wanted to tell us about the screening and puppetry demonstration at Upstate Films.
We are doing a film screening. Jim Henson, before the stuff that I think everybody knows about, they made sort of some of these lovely made-for-TV shorts about an hour long. And one of my favorites is The Frog Prince. If you haven't seen it, it is a lovely, musical, beautiful little short film that we are showing along with Upstate Films at the Orpheum Theater at 2 p.m. on April 12th. And that's a pay what you can showing. We're doing the showing, but we're also doing a live lecture demo of how that kind of puppet, how mouth puppets work with Dove Manley from Up in Arms. And we're doing a workshop where people will get to make their own frog puppet in honor of the Frog Prince and take their own frog puppet home. So that's actually a really packed event. It's pay what you like, but I know seating is going to be limited. So I encourage people to go check out the website and sign up for that on April 12th.
April 12th at 2 p.m., Jim Henson's The Frog Prince screening with all of the extra puppetry goodness that Brad just mentioned. And now let's close out the interview by talking about the closing events of the festival.
Okay, the closing events are happening on April 26th. And in the morning, we will have at the Poughkeepsie Underwear Factory a closing reception. And people can come and they can buy food from Reconnect, which is the cafe at the Underwear Factory. But starting, I think 9 or 9:30, you can join me at the Puppets in the Window on Main Street. And I will do a tour starting at the windows, and then we'll go to the trolley barn, and then we'll end up at the Poughkeepsie Underwear Factory. And at 1 o'clock, we'll do a second tour in reverse. So where I will talk about, puppets and talk about the particular puppets that they'll be seeing. And Brad, I'm going to hand it over to you to close out with Hudson Valley Puppet Slam.
Yeah, our very final thing is going to be that evening at the Stissing Center, our second Puppet Slam and final Puppet Slam of the festival. It's almost the same program as the first one. So if you can catch one, you can get it. But again, a great evening of adult programs from a variety of amazing artists.
To learn more, artsmidhudson.org/HVPF. And again, that link will be posted along with this conversation at wamc.org/roundtable. Brad Scher and Eleanor Levy, truly a pleasure to get to talk puppetry with you this morning. Thank you so much and have a blast with the festival.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The second annual Hudson Valley Puppetry Festival begins tomorrow with a day of puppetry and will present events and exhibitions through April 26. For details, visit artsmidhudson.org/HVPF for Hudson Valley Puppetry Festival. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.